It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All righty. Man, it's good to have you guys here. It's always good to have you here. We appreciate our listeners very much. Got some great fan mail over the weekend. Great interaction with some of you guys on Facebook and on Twitter. And that stuff is really appreciated. I just cannot tell you what a pleasure that is, how humbly grateful I am to have that interaction with you, because, you know, it doesn't happen enough, and it's really why we do the show. So I'm humbly grateful. I want to tell you how much we appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I just cannot tell you that enough. It's just one of those things that, you know, that makes it all worthwhile. It's good to know that five or six people are listening out there that you enjoy what you're listening to. So I appreciate that. Hey, we're going to get started with our first guest, one of our regular contributors, Frances Jackson. Frances Jackson is an attorney who specializes in disability law for those seeking veterans disability benefits and Social Security disability benefits. He's a founding partner of Jackson McNichol. He's been featured on Fox Networks, NBC, CBS, ABC affiliates around the country. He most recently appeared as a guest of Ben Glass on the Consumer Advocate Show discussing benefits for veterans and Social Security disability benefits and how his practice allows him to make a difference in the lives of people facing disabilities. He's also been quoted in USA Today and listed in Cambridge Who's Who. Mr. Jackson was honored by the National Academy of Bestselling Authors with a Quillie Award in September of 2012 for his contribution as a joint author on the Amazon bestselling book, Protect and Defend, where he wrote about protecting one's rights to veterans' disability compensation. Frances Jackson, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks so much, Bert. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you here as well. I think that what you guys do there at Jackson McNichol Law Firm is fantastic. I've said this numerous times, you know, it's a shame that our veterans, sometimes struggle to get their benefits, but I'm so grateful that you guys are out there making sure they get what they deserve.
Well, thanks, Bert.
All right, so let's talk about this. We have Memorial Day coming up. What is the origin of the national holiday that we call Memorial Day?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's kind of an interesting story. As you know, a lot of people don't really distinguish much between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, but technically the difference is that Memorial Day is honoring the people who actually died serving our country from all the wars. Whereas Veterans Day is broader and honors all those who have served. The Memorial Day tradition actually goes back to something called Decoration Day after the Civil War. Both the veterans in the South and in the North had groups of people who at various places around the country made a special event of decorating the graves of the soldiers who had died. And ultimately, after many of those folks had already passed on, it became a more of a national tradition as opposed to a separate Southern and Northern tradition. And around 1882, they started using the term Memorial Day as opposed to Decoration Day, and ultimately in 1967 they finally made it a federal holiday and picked the last Monday in May. So as you know, we're coming up on the holiday on May 30th, but it's a tradition that kind of had a grassroots origin. Lots of different cities and towns around the country on different dates took these steps to decorate the graves and honor the veterans, and ultimately that kind of worked its way up to the point that it has become a national holiday. And so it's something to remember as you're flipping your burgers and having the day off.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and I didn't know that distinction. So Memorial Day is really paying tribute and memory for those who have passed in battle, correct?
Or yes. The short answer is yes.
Primarily in battle. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, and that's good. I mean, not good that they passed, but good that there's that distinction. And it is good to take a minute while you're flipping burgers and enjoying your cold drinks and the pool, that maybe you take a minute or two and have a silent prayer and honor these veterans, because it is the supreme sacrifice that these guys have paid for us to have the privilege of flipping burgers on this day.
That's absolutely right. And as you may remember, in 2000, Congress passed a sort of a secondary or related statute called the National Moment of Remembrance Day, asking people to stop and remember those who had died at 3 o'clock. I'm not sure why they picked 3 o'clock, but that's the time they set for everybody to have their moment of silence and remembrance.
That's right. That's right. Good. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this. I know that you're constantly updating us with the good folks there in Congress. What is Congress doing for our vets lately?
Well, there are actually three big things going on in Congress at the moment, and they're all different but related. One is there's an omnibus bill which includes some pieces for the Veterans Choice Act. Another is the healthcare coverage issue, and another is some appeals stuff. So let's kind of break them down if I can. The chairman of the Senate committee, Senator Isaacson, and the chairman of the House Veterans Committee, Representative Miller, have both been working on a very large piece of legislation. They're calling it an omnibus act, and as you know, that really means that it covers just a whole range of things relating to veterans. It's a huge, the Senate bill is like 390 pages, and it's got a ton of stuff in there. But probably the biggest thing pro-vet in there, if you will, is there's a provision to rework the Veterans Choice Act. I'm sure you remember a couple of years ago, we had the terrible situation at the VA hospital in Phoenix, and then turned out when they dug into it that it wasn't just Phoenix, and people were being seriously delayed in getting VA health care. As a result of that, Congress passed a piece of legislation called the Choice Act that was supposed to give veterans a choice of either going to a VA facility or being treated in an outside facility. What has happened is that the VA has a whole series of different provisions for treatment outside the VA, and all of them, of course, have different requirements and different payment schemes.
Mm.
And one of the things that this bill does, this provision in the bill does, is to take all of those provisions, roll them all into one, and say, okay, this is how you get qualified for treatment outside the VA. This is what we pay, and make it reasonably understandable for both veterans and healthcare providers. And it looks like that piece, at least, is probably going to get passed. I say that piece at least because there are some really controversial things in the bill. One would increase help for caregivers for veterans, and that's not controversial in the sense that nobody's opposed to having it happen, but it's controversial in the sense that a lot of people in Congress have reservations about how they're going to pay for it. And one of the ways that they're talking about paying for it is to reduce the amount that will be paid for the student housing allowance for people seeking educational benefits under the GI Bill. And as you can imagine, that has made some people unhappy. But it's a complicated piece of legislation, because what it does is it actually doesn't take any money away from people who are currently getting GI Bill benefits. What it does is to reduce the amount of the increases in the future. I'm sure you know about Social Security. Typically, there's an annual increase in the amount that gets paid based on cost of living. Well, the GI Bill has something similar built in. And what Congress is proposing to do is to limit those future increases and use that money to pay for the expanded health care. And, you know, a lot of folks who are getting the health care are all in favor of that. A lot of people at the other end who are currently getting GI Bill benefits or are thinking about that and are younger and are not getting health care through the VA, they're not so enthusiastic about that. So there's a fair amount of controversy, and there are lots of other pieces in the bill. It's a huge piece of legislation. So it looked like it was moving along pretty nicely, but now, as of last week, Senator McCain came out against the bill, and I think his opposition is kind of crystallizing or coalescing the other folks who are opposed to the bill. So it's hard to know where it all is going to go. But there are a couple other things kicking around in there that are important. Probably the one that is of most interest to one narrow group of veterans who served in Vietnam is there's a special provision pending in Congress, not as part of this bill, but separately, to change health care for Navy veterans who served offshore in Vietnam. It's kind of a complicated situation there, as you and I have talked about. When folks served in Vietnam and they were physically in the country on the ground or even on the internal rivers and waterways with the Navy or Coast Guard, there's a presumption, it's automatically assumed that they were exposed to Agent Orange, and
right.
that in turn entitles them to certain kinds of medical care for things like diabetes and heart problems and certain cancers and so on. But what this bill would do is to expand that coverage, that health coverage for those conditions, to Navy veterans who were in Vietnam but were on ships off the coast. And it's odd, you know, the bill had a lot of support, I think something like 320 co-sponsors, but it has just stalled, and it seems to have stalled primarily because Representative Miller in the House has essentially said, look, you haven't shown me how we're going to pay for this, and I'm not moving it forward in committee until you do. So it's kind of the House is internally divided about it, and it just doesn't seem to be moving forward, which is just a very frustrating thing for that particular group of veterans.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, and we see this happen all the time where somebody stands up and says, okay, this is a great bill, but how are we going to pay for it? And then we do see it stall out. And it's a shame, again, I've said this so many times, it's a shame that these guys move so slow when it comes to take care of our veterans. And one of the reasons that they move so slowly is really because it's you know, politically expedient, or maybe it's not politically expedient for them to move fast or whatever. You know, it's one of those things, because you see them pass, you know, when they want to get something passed, whether the money's there or not, they get it passed because there's political pressure, because whatever, because it's the popular thing to do. Our veterans, you know, this is one of those things where you know, if it wasn't for people like you, nobody would be looking out for these guys, or very few people would be looking out for these guys. And because of you talking about it, you know, again, it doesn't get the same coverage. You know, the media is not covering this, you know, not to the extent that they would cover, you know, maybe another piece of legislation. And so this is one of the reasons I think it stalls out. It doesn't have that popular, the people pressuring the politicians to, you know, to do something.
I'm afraid you're right, Bert.
That's too bad. All right, so let me ask you this. Is the VA itself doing anything to make access to benefit easier for our vets?
Actually, they are. Secretary McDonald, as you may remember, came from the private sector, from Procter & Gamble. Mm-hmm. And so he's a big consumer advocate, sort of a person. And one of the things that he did when he first came on board at the VA is to ask about what the VA's website was about. They said, well, which one? And he said, well, you know, how many are there? And they told him there were over 1,000, and he was astounded. And I can see why he was astounded.
Yeah.
You know, the VA has this crazy mishmash of websites. And so McDonald said, okay, enough of that. We're going to fix this. This is something I don't have to have legislation for. I can do it, and we're going to do it. So he hired he contracted with the folks that did the repairs for the Obamacare website, the healthcare.gov, Paul Smith and his group, and brought them in and said, okay, we're just going to start over. We're going to start with a whole new site. It's called vets.gov, and we're going to take all of these sites, and we're going to take them one at a time. We're going to take whatever pieces we think are worth keeping from each one. We're going to build them into the main site. We're going to get rid of all of these, and they're doing that. They've got a beta test up and working, and it's coming along. It looks like that's really actually going to come together. The initial contract gave them a year to build out the basic site, and then they've got an optional renewal, if the VA is happy with that, to go for another 2 years and, you know, finish bringing in all these pieces. But the current sites, particularly the main ones for disability benefits and compensation, are very confusing. You're used to using PDFs, I'm sure, and what you have is a situation where forms that people need to use are on the sites as PDFs, but you can't fill them in. So you have to actually get the form, print it out, fill it in, send it back, which is just silly. So they're supposed to make them all veteran-friendly, fillable online, et cetera, and feed into the respective databases. And, it looks like it's going to work. Certainly the initial beta test stuff looks very nice. And if it does work, it'll certainly make things easier for veterans who are trying to access various kinds of help from the VA.
Yeah, it boggles the mind that they would have 1,000 websites. I mean, it just boggles the mind.
You know, it's just an example of the things that you and I have talked about. The VA is such a huge bureaucracy. You know, every little section felt the need to have its own website, and did. And it's such a mishmash. You know, nobody knew where to start.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and as an employee of the VA, that could be overwhelming. So let me find out of. Who do I direct you to out of the 1,000 possible choices? That's crazy. Let me ask you this. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. I mean, you and I have been working together for a while, and you know, I introduce you all the time, and you know, one of the things I introduce you with, or part of my introduction, is veterans seeking compensation. What does that mean? What does it mean for veterans seeking compensation?
Sure. Well, the VA actually has two compensation programs, but the one we talk about the most is what's called disability compensation, and the other program is technically called pension. But the disability compensation program is the one that most people think of when they talk about people getting benefits from the VA. And what that is about is you have to show, number one, that you have a current disability. It doesn't have to be totally disabling. You know, the VA, unlike Social Security, it's not an in or out, you're disabled or you're not. With the VA, it's a percentage rating. You get a percentage rating anywhere from 0 to 100, depending on the severity of the condition and the nature of the condition. And the you have to show that that current disability is somehow related to your service. And it can be either wartime or peacetime service, doesn't matter, but has to be related to service. And it can be any number of a variety of things. You could have developed an illness while you're in the service. Say you came down with meningitis and you're having the residual symptoms of that, or any one of a number of tropical diseases that people were exposed to during World War II. You could have been injured in a Jeep accident. You could have racked up your knee jumping out of airplanes. There are a million different kinds of things. For some people, it's PTSD from seeing comrades killed in Iraq or Afghanistan, or traumatic brain injury from being the site of an IED explosion. You know, it can be any kind of an injury, really. But the compensation program is designed to compensate people for the extent to which their disability, which was related to service, reduces their current ability to work and earn. And so the VA sets these percentage ratings based on what they estimate the degree of impairment from, say, a bad ankle or a bad shoulder or loss of an eye or whatever the condition is, what they estimate that condition has as an average effect on people's ability to work and earn. And the pension part of the compensation program is a little different. That program is only for people who served in a period of war. They don't have to have served in actual combat, but they have to have served during a period defined as a period of war, meaning typically World War II, Korea, Vietnam, or the current conflict in the Middle East. They can't have served just in peacetime. And for those folks, there's no percentage rating. It's a question of, are they totally disabled or not, like Social Security? If they are, then the VA can pay them at a fairly modest rate. It's about $1,400 a month. They can get the basic compensation to, you know, so that they're not starving in the street is the idea. We don't want
right.
to any wartime veterans in a terrible financial situation. We want to give them at least kind of a baseline of income, and that's what the programs are.
Awesome! I love it. And again, if you or someone you know, and most of us know somebody who served. Maybe they served a few years ago. Maybe they served a couple of decades ago. You know what? Just find out. If a lot of veterans give up because sometimes trying to navigate through this maze called the Veterans Administration can be exhausting. A lot of VAs give up, and after, especially after they've been denied, they give up. They think they have no other recourse. My friends at jackson-mcnichol.com, jackson-mcnichol.com, will take care of you. They can sit there and they can answer your questions and see if what recourses you have. So do not let our friends and our friends and or family suffer in silence in silence, reach out to them, let them know about Francis Jackson and his team. They'll be glad to speak with him directly. Francis Jackson, I want to say thank you so much for serving our brave men and women, and also for stopping by today.
Bert, it's always a pleasure. Good talking to you.
Good talking with you. Good stuff there from Francis Jackson. And again, guys, I say this, and I just want to say it again, and that is, we have a duty to the men and women who have fought for our country. And you don't have to do a whole lot, but ask them, make sure that they're getting their benefits, and they have. And if they're not getting everything they deserve, talk to them about Francis Jackson. Make that connection. It's not going to cost them anything to talk to Francis, and he can talk to them from any phone, any place. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. Man, good stuff there. We're going to continue. I think you're going to find my next guest equally entertaining as well as informative. He is the CEO and co-founder of Cocoon, spelled with a K, K-U-K-U-N, Cocoon. Raf Hari is the CEO and founder of Cocoon. He started Cocoon with the mission to transform the home remodeling industry from an offline, fragmented, frustrating undertaking to an online, modern, and user-friendly experience. His early career began with the interest in pursuing work as an architect before going on to work in the technology sector. In his personal life, Raf have bought and renovated old homes as a hobby throughout the years, which allowed him to learn the secrets of the renovation trade. A conversation with a real estate agent and a friend triggered the concept of Cocoon. His goal was to take away the anxieties associated with home renovation and bring transparency to the process. Raf Howery, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Well, thanks for having me, Bert.
You bet, you bet. Boy, and you know, if anybody's done even a small job, anxiety, I think, is a great word to associate with even a small renovation on a home. I mean, it's overwhelming.
Well, it sure is. I mean, I think it's the one industry that sort of that technology and the internet advances have basically neglected. If you look at it, it's everybody's scared of it. Nobody really knows what it costs, how long it takes, who do I hire, if I need to get all that I need, whether I need a loan, I need to buy material, I need to find a contractor, I need to find an architect. You have to go to so many places. It is a fragmented industry, quite opaque, and thus most folks are overwhelmed. It's a really an overwhelming experience. I've done it so many times. The first one was a nightmare, but my passion for this thing allowed me to go through it. The second one was still kind of nightmarish, but I got to learn the intricate things within it, and now I know why it's so hard, and now I know why people have shied away from trying to transform it.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so why don't you tell us an overview? Let us know, what is Cocoon all about?
Sure. So think of Cocoon as basically a marketplace that sits between you as a homeowner or a buyer or seller, and basically all the industry that makes a renovation happen. Typically, every time you renovate, you may be needing a loan, you may be needing a real estate agent, you are going to need a retailer to buy your stuff from, or multiple retailers, and clearly you're going to need the construction industry, whether it's from the architect side or whether from the actual contractor side. So what we are is basically is a set of tools that first and foremost drives transparency on pricing. And second, it drives the connection that you need from that point on to advance through your project. Most of us don't know where to start. I mean, all the questions I guess is where I get all the time is where do I start and how do I go on? And so what we've done is we've built a tool, for example, where we act like a construction company, where we give you a real-time, quick estimates what it will cost you instead of you trying to call your brother who happens to know someone, a contractor that you reach out, who comes in a week later to come in and just wave their thumb in the air and give you an estimate. We do it more scientifically, and we package it in a very user-friendly way, so you don't have to wait. So this happens real time. The second thing we do is we also added a kind of a cool feature that allows you to estimate your return on that investment. So in other words, let's say you want to build a pool, or you could choose between a pool or actually renovating your kitchen. Well, data and the algorithm we have will show you right away that if you redo your kitchen, you're going to get much more equity in the house versus building a pool. So well, it'll give you that. Then really at the end of the day, as you start the execution process, which is where everything starts, all the pain points start. Most of us worry about three big things, right? Price, on-time delivery, and quality. Right? How do I find the right people or the right contractor to give me the right price that I can control the time and I can control the quality of the project? So what we've built is we have taken that process and we examined all the decisions that happens through a construction project. To give you an example, a kitchen, just a simple project, it has a minimum of 36 tasks that are independent and they have to be done, some of them in a serial fashion, some of them are in a parallel fashion. You also will need about four times as many products to make this happen. So what we built is a standard format where a homeowner goes and scopes their project. We call that create a bid request. We guide you through creating a very structured bid. You get after that the ability to take that bid and either share it with the contractors you know or the contractors that we could recommend for you. Basically, what we do is we collect data on all the contractors and we show homeowners things like their permit history so they can see more options. Once they are shared with a contractor, the contractor gets the opportunity to talk to you. And then when they give you a bid, instead of that Word document or an Excel document, they're going online and bidding on your project. So you get to see them apples to apples because you're using exactly the same format and the same language. And when you declare a winner from the system, we will extract the plan and the timing and we'll put on your phone and you suddenly start to get reminders. It's time for him to start this task. It's time for him to end this task. It's time for you to buy appliances, what have you. So we keep control of the delays as we're doing it. So you do not have the compounded delays that happen. So you are engaged in every decision because most of us do not have that depth to understand all these tasks and how they're dependent on each other.
Man, I love that. I love that. It's kind of like almost having a general contractor by your side.
Yes, it is actually someone who's sitting by exactly your side, who's guiding you through the process, and who is actually keeping you on track in that kind of a passive way. Because we know that homeowners and users don't have time to create plans and to understand every level of detail. So we get all that work done for them. All they have to do is use the system, and then they start to get all these reminders. And then you get to be on to keep that on track. And that allows you to find if there's going to be a delay way before it compounds with other delays, which is when typically we all know about it.
Right, right. Yes, again, if anybody's done even a small job, they can relate to this. It's amazing to me how many people, contractors and whatever, you know, will show up, they bid on a job, they disappear, they come back. I mean, even a small job can get out of hand real quick.
Absolutely. And worse than that is I think we don't have any standards in this industry. I mean, think about, Bert, about the car industry. 10 years ago, you negotiate for a car not knowing what this car is worth. So you went into a dealership, you tried as hard as you could, you thought you got a deal, maybe you're not sure you got a deal or not. Now it's you know what the car should be worth, and you can get the best deal you can. and everybody wins. In our case, we want to drive this transparency on pricing, but also on transparency on the process of construction. Because no one, we looked at one point, Bert, and we found that on a typical home, the simple home renovation that has like two, three rooms in it, there are 222 decisions that have to be made. How many
wow.
of us can think about making 222 decisions? So what happens? The contractor makes the decisions on your behalf, and you find out a lot later. And all
yeah.
through that, you're going to have delays, and you won't know that. And I'm not trying to paint all contractors in that one brush. It does happen. There are a lot of good contractors. Sometimes the user is at fault. I mean, let's face it. Sometimes the user
yes.
doesn't have the idea what they want. So what we're trying to do is really structure that relationship, because I think contractors have really valid pain points with homeowners, and so but homeowners have a lot more. And what we want to do is to create that dialogue, that communication, that translation engine. That's what we call it. We build a translation engine. It allows both to be relatively transparent and also both allow to kind of collaborate in a much more productive way versus what we have today.
Yeah, no, the amount of decisions that you have to make is mind-boggling. When you said even in your typical kitchen renovation, you got like 30 plus things that you have to, you know, make a decision on and keep track of, that again is overwhelming, especially if it's your first time. You know, if this is your 10th time, it's not so bad, but typically I'm not in the renovation business, so the chances of me making a renovation more than once is very small. It's not like I'm not going to be like you where you started doing it and you fell in love with it and all of a sudden you created something around that passion. This is something that most people do one time, so it's overwhelming very quickly.
Absolutely, and more importantly, it's everything is offline and fragmented, so you're always
yes.
asking. I remember the first time, where do I start? Well, talk to an architect. Fine, get a hold of an architect. That was the first point.
Yeah.
And you get a hold of an architect, and you say, and he said, well, okay, let me come and see your house. And of course, he throws this amazing, bill in front of you, and you kind of sit down and say, okay, well, I'm already spending $15,000-$20,000 and haven't even started, right? I don't
yeah.
know what the next is. And so, what we want to do and what we have to do is think of when you travel today. When you travel, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you called your travel agent and said, hey, I want to go somewhere. Can you get me a flight? And
right.
it's by this process. And now you go to Priceline, Expedia. It's all in front of you, and you all can make this whole package right away. Reality is you will need four industries to make this happen. You will need the real estate industry, because often you renovate because you want to sell your home, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Often you're buying a home that requires renovation. So you're dealing with the real estate industry right away. You will potentially need a loan. And most of us just think about going to the bank, but there are so many alternatives and so many better deals that most of us don't even know about, because we're not trained to go to multiple places trying to find the best deal, let alone understanding all each type of loan. Then you're going to even if you find the right contractor, let's say you start buying stuff for your house, whether it's your kitchen, you're trying to get a countertop, a faucet, or appliance, and you're trying to go to like 10 vendors to find out what you need for where is the best price, right? Instead of these industries coming to help you make the project happen, you're helping yourself, and you're going to them, even though they're the ones who are getting your money. So we should turn the table.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about this real quick. Tell me about the Cocoon bidding system. What is this? How'd you come with it? Talk about that.
So as I referred just a few minutes ago, so it's a way, let's say you want to, you have a project and you know you want to redo, let's just say, your kitchen and your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You go online, you say, create a bid request, and you in it, we'll say, okay, let's walk you through the scope. So we'll tell you, okay, it's a kitchen, bath. We'll ask you a few questions. What size is your existing room? Are you expanding it? Are you adding to the house? Are you just renovating? We're basically trying to get a structured format, very easy, about five steps. You can, at the end, attach your plans if you have them, if you have photos, any documents, anything, pictures of before, pictures of actor you'd like to, and you put them all in one template. And then you say, what we'll do is immediately we'll kind of present you with a set of contractors that we found around your zip code within 60 miles and say, all these guys are around you. You could share it with them, or if you have your own contractor that you like, you just share it with them. They get a notice that says, this Bert wants to change his bathroom and his kitchen. And this is the scope. This is what we think it's worth overall. These are the details. Are you interested? So if you know him, he's going to see your name because you decided that you personally are going towards – he knows you and you know him, so he's going to see your contact. If you decide to use a system to publicly bid, meaning that you don't know this contractor, we will hide your name and your address. We will just show your zip code, and we'll say to these contractors, hey, are you interested? They go in, they get a notice in their mail, or if we have their cell phone, we'll send them a text message. They go in, they see your scope, they'll say, okay, I like this is in my field, I like want to do this. This isn't a good zip code. I can drive there, and they'll express an interest to bid on your project. You get a notification that Raf wants to bid on your project, and you get a link to his profile that we have for him, for Raf. And you'll see that if I have done 10 permits in this city, what's the average permit size? If we've seen reviews for Raf on the internet, we will summarize it and aggregate for you in one place. We call that sentiment analysis. And we
I love it.
Right? We'll say, okay, this guy on the average, he seems to do well on price, he seems to do well on quality or what have you, and these are his permits. And you can actually see the addresses down. We're going to add that feature next week. You'll see the actual addresses of each home that this Raf has worked on. So if you approve this guy, he will come and see your house. So you guys share the plan, you talk, and you're going to get how many bids, let's just say, how many people work on your house. And you're going to make your own personal decision as to who you like and not like. But the time comes when they actually have to give you an actual official bid. They go online onto Cocoon, and they will bid on your house. And in it, you'll find every task with every date, all the material required for every task. If there's a subcontractor involved, you'll see that too. And you get to see them basically apples to apples. You'll see a price and time and all these different things. We'll even kind of look at things such as did he or she underprice any material or overprice any material. We don't do anything. We just warn you and say, hey, this looks a little bit fishy because we know that flooring costs on the average $4 per linear foot or what have you. This looks low, right? So we empower you to question the contractor and to ask all the right questions so you can even out sort of that bid. And then once you like and decide who you want, you just press declare a winner, and you get the plan loaded onto your phone, and then the process starts from there. So they start to work. You start to get alerts. He starts to get alerts. So, for example, you get an alert that, hey, it's time for him to start drywall. He gets the alert about 2 days before you do so that he's always on track. So he's not looking, you know, he's also being organized around it. So that's how it works. Very little work from the homeowner, if with the exception of creating the bid request. Everything is pretty much automated for them.
Yeah, I cannot imagine trying to do a home renovation without using the system now, because it makes it so much simpler. Again, I've not used it, but you can check it out at mycocoon.com, right? K-U-K-U-N, mycocoon.com. And it seems like everything's there in one place. I love the what do you call it, the sentiment meter there, the sentiment
sentiment analysis on for the contract.
Sentiment analysis. So I love that because reviews are important.
They are, and some people like them, some people don't, Bert, but reality is they are a fact of life right now. Reality is they are a polluted kind of pool there because, you know, you can have your mother review you, right? It's not always altruistic. One of the things that the sentiment analysis will do is we'll even it out. We'll take out all the exaggerated comments, right, all the things that are just so – you know, super positive that you kind of unbelievable, and also all the super negative. Sometimes you get those really bad negative, you know, some folks, it's just like use it as a power play And so we really kind of look at the volume and say, this is overall what the reputation looks like. And it is a very simple way to hire, so you don't have to go to too many places trying to find that. That and the permits should give you really what you need to know about every contractor.
I love it. Raf Hari, thank you so much for stopping by. You guys can check out My Cocoon. Again, spell with a K, mycocoon.com for more information. Check it out. Raf, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Bert.
You bet. Good stuff there from Raf Hari. And I love this. This is a great idea. From an entrepreneurial standpoint of view, he looked at this. He realized there is a problem in the industry. And as all entrepreneurs do, we solve problems. And he solved a massive problem. MyCocoon.com. What a great idea. I wish I would have thought of it myself. Of course, I don't know anything about renovation, so that's probably why I didn't, you know, come across my radar. But, you know, take this example. Maybe there's something there for you. Maybe you want to do this in your industry or whatever. And so, again, the profits and the problem. Solving the problem makes you an entrepreneur, makes you, if you do a good job, makes you a wealthy entrepreneur. All right. I'm just always blown away. I'm sorry, I got distracted there. But I'm always blown away by people like Raf and things that they come up with. It's ingenious to me. And I want to say thank you to all our entrepreneurs out there for doing the stuff that you guys do. And I want to end with this. Sometimes we look at something that we do, and because we're able to do it with such ease, and we're able to do it with, what's the word I'm looking for? With such, I guess it comes to us so easily that we don't think it has any value, and that's not true. Your area of play, what comes easy to you may be hard work for me. And I'm willing to pay for your expertise, for your passion, for your help. So maybe, and I have a client, and what does she do? She helps people grow houseplants. She is fantastic at keeping plants alive or bringing plants back that are almost dead. It's simple and easy and fun for her. It's hard for a lot of people. I've killed a lot of plants. So something that's easy and fun for you has value to other people who can't do it on the same level. Keep that in mind. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.